It's a small experiment, but with rather grand ambition. In a laboratory at Loughborough University, Fabiano Liso showed me a new chemical coating she's helped invent, which will be used to cover solar panels. The coating repels water and other substances which can stick to panels and stop them doing their work.
I have a bit of water.
And is she now about to drop it onto a piece of glass? Now, this is the specially treated piece of glass.
Yes, it is coated with a hydrophobic coating. So
she's dropping drops of water onto the glass. That is extraordinary. The water just runs off, doesn't leave anything behind. Just vanishing.
Absolutely, yes. That helps to repel water and dust.
And that really matters for solar panels, because they're often sited in places where they do get unwanted substances covering them and blocking out the sun. Put the panels in a desert and sand quickly moves in. Stick them up a mountain and it's snow which is the problem. But this year, Fabiano's hoping to see the first solar panels hit the market with this new repellent coating. She believes it could make the generation of solar electricity simpler and, crucially, cheaper.
It's going to save, of course, the maintenance if these panels are protected with these special coatings. And because we can guarantee a longer life for the solar panels, what we produce, it's something low cost.
In a rather quieter office on the Loughborough campus, I found another scientist with one eye on his experiments and the other also looking at the rather more down-to-earth question of how to cut the cost of solar energy.
What we've got here are an array of cadmium telluride solar cells. This is a second-generation thin-film photovoltaic technology.
That's Professor Michael Wall, who runs Loughborough University's Solar Energy Research Department. He's particularly excited about thin-film technology, new materials which turn sunlight into electricity.
The original solar panels are all made from silicon, but the new second-generation technologies are using absorbers which are only 3 microns.
That's 0.03 of a millimetre thick.
Correct. And because we're using a much thinner amount of material, obviously that gives these thin film technologies a natural cost advantage. So in the United States, for example, the company that makes these solar modules is able to sell power at about 3 cents per kilowatt hour, which is very, very low, unsubsidised.
It's that last word, unsubsidised, which really matters, particularly in the UK. This March will see the end of a scheme which had meant that anyone could sign up and be paid to install solar panels on their roof. From now on, solar energy will be far more exposed to brute market forces. And yet, just about everyone you meet in the industry seems upbeat, from the people who design solar panels to the people who sell them. Leonie Green represents the Solar Trade Association.
The cost reductions in solar have really been unprecedented, even lower than we predicted a few years ago. So for a domestic homeowner who wanted to install solar, you know, you were looking at £12,000-£14,000. Now you can get a good quality big system for around £5,000 within reach of a lot of people.
Where are the main growth areas? Who is it who's now using solar energy who wasn't using it before?
Well, what's distinctive about solar is just the sheer range of investors in solar. You know, domestic homeowners, farmers, churches putting solar on roofs. They're using it to generate their own power.
There is another player in the solar energy world, one expected to make more of an impact in the year ahead, and that's local councils. I'm on the outskirts of Chichester on the south coast at a solar farm which looks like any other solar farm, the great big black panels pointing towards the sun, and there actually is some sun today. But what's unusual is that this solar farm was built, paid for, and is being run by West Sussex County Council. And the leader of West Sussex County Council is with me, Louise Goldsmith. Louise Goldsmith, councils have an awful lot to do these days. Why did you get involved in building and running a solar farm?
It's a really good investment for us, one of the best returns we can get at the moment. We can sell it at to the market, but also to about 2,000 residents. But we're not going to stop here. We have sites where we would like to develop more solar farms. The money stacks up, it's a good use of assets, and it's great for the environment. So what is there not to like about it?